All right. We're going to go to two verses in James chapter 1. I had bypassed them, but I wanted to go back on this particular day. I believe I prayed over this. I believe God has led us here, and especially with what is going on in our nation right now. So James chapter 1, let's pray, and we're going to spend a few minutes here and just rejoice in our God. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. Lord, your Bible says, the word of God says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Lord, we're looking for your light, and we know we will find it because we have your word, your spirit guides us. Lord, we're thankful for the salvation that we have. And if there's anyone here or that is going to be listening that doesn't know Christ as Savior, may they come to know him. Lord, these are difficult days for many people, and they need encouragement. Encouragement is here in your word. And so I pray that you would speak to souls. I pray that you would open eyes. And Lord, I know that as we listen to your word, you will give us great encouragement. You are God. You are on the throne. We are thankful for that. And we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. All right. James chapter 1. We're going to be looking at just two verses this morning. Would you please look at verse 17? James writes this by the Holy Spirit's guidance. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. It's interesting to find ourselves in this month at this particular time for this reason. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, who came to die for us. Through him, we have salvation. Amen? At the same time, we have people that are getting distracted and many that are becoming extremely disheartened because their job is failing, because they can't reach out. They've got people that are telling them, stay home, stay with your immediate family, don't go anywhere. You know, you've got to listen to us. Now, I know that there is cause for concern. I understand that. But I believe we're doing something to ourselves as a nation, as a culture, that is not right. There is caution that needs to be taken. But there is also an overstepping in some areas by the powers that be. There are thoughts and opinions that are being given on both sides. I think what we need to do is get our thoughts and opinions from him. So we as Christians understand this. We are in his care. Amen? Secondly, we are going to come in contact with people who have a real concern and a real burden and are really quite hurting. I was, just before I came in this morning, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to bring up Drudge Report and just see what it says. It's sad. I mean, people are just so down. And you read this and you can look between the lines, as it were, and see that there is actually manipulation going on. It's how things are being said. So, you know, with that in mind, I praise God for what is being said here. Is it true that there are good gifts in the world today? Yes. Yes. And guess where they come from? Now, the getting of gifts and money. You know, when I remember when I was 12 years old, Christmas is coming. Now, before that, it was my job in our family. It was my job when I was a kid. It was my job to find out where Mom and Dad hid the presents. I dug into the garage. I dug into their closet. I would find them. Then I would find my sister. I would show her what she was going to get for Christmas. And then I would say, remember, act surprised. My mom was speaking about that even before she went to be with the Lord. You remember when you used to do, yeah, Mom, I remember. I just thought. And then I turned 12 years old, and all of a sudden, Christmas was about getting clothes. Oh, no. Getting clothes? Where's the fun in that? And suddenly, the gifts weren't all that good. Yeah, they were good. I understand that. Proverbs 19:6 says, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. There is a dark side in how these things can be subtle and be manipulated. But let's remember something, that in spite of everything else that is going on, we are here celebrating the greatest gift. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God, according to this passage here, God is the greatest giver of gifts. We need to recognize where they come from. That no matter what takes place, what He gives, and it goes far beyond salvation, although that's the greatest gift. Look at point number one, if you would please. God is the only source of goodness. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights. Now look at that verse, if you would please. There are two words, two different words, that translate gift in verse 17 at the beginning. The first word that translates gift has the focus on the act of giving. The act of giving. The second one is referring to the gift itself. What he is saying here is in both the act and the gift itself, it is from God, and He is good. Make no mistake about it. If you call anything good, it comes from God. Now think of that. Satan, he takes the time to ruin everything. I think we're all old enough here, we've recognized that is exactly what has taken place. You bring Satan in, even though he comes in as an angel of light, he's there to ruin and to destroy. Not God. Not God. What do we call good? Now, we might call good health good, and it's good. How about family? You bet. Friendships. Good, healthy friendships. What about freedom? That's good. There's things that we get involved in. My wife and I, we can't wait. Next spring, Lord willing, going camping. If we can only get a certain couple to go with us, you know, because after all, they just got another trailer and we want to see if they'll trade. They won't. But the Granbys and us, we've been talking about getting out there and going camping somewhere to get, you know, for a long time. But that's always good, to get out there in the trees and such. We love it. How about birds singing? You love that? Now, not all birds are good. I was talking earlier to people about a minor bird. We used to have a minor bird. You talk about wanting to kill something. But we did something that I hope and pray our children never do to us. We eventually gave that mite bird to my grandma. She thought it was fine. She thought it was great. There was just a problem. Mite birds learn to repeat what they've heard. Y'all understand that? One day, that bird told my dad to shut up. By name. He and Mom got along better afterwards, and everything went well, and praise God, you know. How about when you go to the ocean? In other words, you're enjoying the creation, the Rocky Mountains, whatever it might be. You might think of so many things, but the point is, there's thousands of things that we can look at right now, and we think, you know what? Praise God. They are so good. But now look back at the verse. Look back at the verse. Where do these good things come from? They come down from the Father of lights. The phrase there, cometh down, it's in the present participle. It means they come and they keep coming. You know what? The sun came up this morning. It'll come up tomorrow morning. It'll come up tomorrow morning if God is good. Guess what? God is good. God is good. But there's so much more than that. It's good. If it's good, it comes from God. Here's our challenge. Once we start doubting the goodness of God in our lives, we wind up getting distracted. You know what we get distracted doing? We're trying to find something that we think, well, surely this is good. And Satan goes, hey, come here. Eat this fruit. That's what happens. You see, if we understand that when it comes to looking for goodness, we need to be guided by the God of good, the Holy Spirit of good, our Lord and Savior of that which is good. This Bible deals with the thought of giving because our God deals in giving. It's been estimated that 4.5% of the verses in our Bible deal directly or indirectly with giving. So it's on the heart of God, and especially when it comes down to what He gave us in Christ. It was the realization of this kind of God that we have that led Asaph in the book of Psalms, Psalm 73, one of my favorites, to say this, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none that I upon earth that I desire beside thee. He is good. We can desire Him. We can go after Him. We can embrace Him. We can sing His praises. We can desire to hold Him because we're guaranteed this, anything that He gives us is good. Now, mankind, he tries to give and in a fashion, take the place of God. He can't do that. He can't do that. He'll take and try to use gifts in certain ways to get his own way. We learned that from the wicked one. There are gifts that are not sincere. People give with wrong motives. There are gifts that are not sensible. Would you give a razor blade to a little child? Well, of course not. That's ridiculous. Or would you try to give something, you know, to buy somebody off? Understand, many years ago, we had a young man that was here in this church. One day he came into my office and he sat down and he wept. He did not come to this church. He didn't live with his mother. He lived with his grandparents. His mother, who lived in another country, was well off and actually bought him a brand new car, a nice car. But he came and sat down in my office and wept. And I thought, what has happened? And it just started coming out of him. He wanted his mom. His mom was too busy having a good time living in another country, making good money, and trying to buy him off. That absolutely broke my heart. Again, gifts, they're not, sometimes they're just flat out not suitable. Would you give a radio to a deaf man? Of course not. Of course not. We think of our God. When we think of what He gives, we always go back to the greatest gift. Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Praise God for that. But then He immediately says this through the Apostle Paul, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Face it, if we need something, God is going to give it, or He is willing to give it if we ask for it, which makes us stop and think. Are we asking with wrong motives on certain things? I thought for sure God, before I got this age, would give me $1 million. Why? I don't know. I just asked for it. No, I'm being facetious. I'm being silly. But God knows how to give gifts. He knows how. Why? Because He's good. Deuteronomy 32, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Psalm 18 says the same thing. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or a shield to all those that trust in Him. I love Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Go to Him. Trust Him. You'll find He's good. God is good all the time. When God is called the Father of lights, it speaks of Him as Creator. You know, there were pagans at one time. They looked to the heavens, they looked to the sun, they looked to the moon. They saw them as gods. But you know, they found out they were no gods. They weren't. I feel sorry when I read history. And you recall, or you read of this and you recall that those in time past, and even some today, that worship certain pagan gods, they never trusted them because the gods were peevish. Something would happen that was bad. Oh, I must have made my God angry. I mean, this is why when you read in ancient times, you read about them sacrificing children to God because they thought, oh, if my God is so angry with me at this, my crops are going to fail. I've got to do something. That was their God or gods. That's why some people, or Satan makes sure, let me put it like that. Satan makes sure that some people feel about the God of heaven the same way. This happened to me, or that happened to me. The Jews thought that way. Remember when they saw the blind man in John chapter 9? Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? Jesus said, no, that's not the case. This is for the glory of God. God does things for reasons, but He never loses His goodness. Let's remember that. God is the only source of goodness, but secondly, God is the unchanging source of goodness. Look at the rest of verse 17. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That word variableness means change, variation, passing from hand to hand. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The commentator Kent Hughes said this, God does not change like shifting shadows. God's goodness is always at high noon. I love that. The devil will tell you otherwise. He will tell you that God has less favor towards you today than he had for you yesterday. And oh, by the way, it's your fault. See, that's Satan. He's the father of lies. God is the father of lights. God illuminates. Satan lies and confuses. But who are we listening to? We need to encourage each other. God is the only source of goodness. He's the source of unchanging goodness. Write this down. Number three, last point. God is the source of the supreme act of goodness. You know, I'm neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But you know, as getting into God's Word, I think maybe we need to just kind of communicate among ourselves and talk and pray about what we're seeing. And maybe recognize this. To me, this is where it's at. The battle for men's hearts and minds is going up at a fever pitch. There is a path that the wicked one is trying to take the populace of the world to a point where they will trust, they will cast off everything and trust a man to save them. I remember back in the late 70s, there was a man that was in the Pentagon, a general, and he made this comment, true point, true story, true quote, "Give us a man, any man, and be he God or be he devil, we will follow him." Now, it's getting to the point. There are those that are looking to cast off the borders of nations. They're seeking to bring a global government in. It's happening, folks. We're watching it happen right now. The battle is on. God isn't losing. He's leading. He's the one. It's not falling apart. It's falling into place. God is allowing the wicked one to manipulate and communicate and bring this on. He prophesied it. It's in the Bible. In the Sunday school class here in the auditorium on Sunday morning, Brother Whiteside, that's what you're covering with the book of Daniel, right? There it is. We know this. We know it. That's why, first of all, number one, we can rejoice in the fact that God is good. That even while we see other people being put to the test, we understand it's in the book. It's in His hands. And we are in His hands as well if we've trusted Christ. Amen? So, let's cover this last point. Look, if you would please, at verse 18. "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." So what James is trying to do here, he's talked about God being the good God, the giver of that which is from above. Now he's talking about the greatest gift and how it comes to us. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're celebrating this month. 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, He saves us. Amen? We don't save ourselves. We you know, the song doesn't go, "Jesus paid it half to Him I owe." That's not happening. The same God that saves us is willing to save all. That is how large His goodness is. Stop and think about the people that you might be neighbors to. We're praying for neighbors. We've got some folks, I hurt for them. There's this one fellow, I'm not going to mention his name, but I was concerned about him. He said, "Hey, preacher, pray for me." I've been praying for him. Turns out he's okay. He kind of made a joke about it a little bit. I'm going to tell him it's no joke. I've been praying for you, buddy. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. But stop and consider this. Our Bible is it's a time of God that is calling on people. He's calling them to Himself. Revelation 22, 17. The Spirit of the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. What an invitation. Excuse me. What a great time. There's a verse I'm getting ready to read through the Corinthian books, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. There's a verse, it's very short in 2 Corinthians. I love it. Simply says this, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Gift, some of you know the verse. "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Matthew Henry says of salvation, "The original of this good work is here declared. It is of God's own will, not by our own skill or power, not from any good foreseen in us or done by us, but purely from the good will and grace of God." That's our salvation. Kent Hughes again went on to say, "We are God's people because of a total act of grace rooted in God's unprompted goodness." Our Bible tells us that. Our Bible shows us our sinfulness. By the way, it's good of God to show us our sinfulness because sin kills. God shows us that. He shows us individually. He shows your sin and mine. But He did it to get us to recognize that He so loved the world that He gave His Son to save us from our sins. The source of salvation is the grace of God. The channel of our salvation is the Word of God. The outcome of our salvation is what this verse says, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. There's a Puritan, Thomas Manton, he put this in this way. He said of believers and of God, "The world are His goods, but you are His treasure." I love that. So, as the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. God is good. There is no goodness apart from Him. Jim Berg has written a lot on encouraging people to get them to recognize what God has done for us and what we need to remember in different areas of our lives. I want to read you in closing just what he put down in Scripture and the areas when it comes to God's goodness. God is always good. Always. That means, one, He will always meet my genuine needs. Always. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Psalm 55:22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He will always meet our genuine needs. His grace is always sufficient. Always. 2 Corinthians 3:5. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." That reminds us of what Jesus said in John 15. Without me, ye can do nothing. If but for anything else, if we took this thought this morning, recognizing the goodness of God, looking to Him and saying, Lord, whatever it is you have for me, I want it. Whatever it is of me you want, you've got it. I'm giving completely. I got to thinking about this last week. You know, a lot of people were talking about what Satan is doing. We're talking about what Satan's crowd is doing. Well, really, it begs the question. If they're giving themselves wholeheartedly to the wicked one, even though they don't possibly know it, and they're serving him and they're going after wickedness, what about God's people? Are we doing the same thing? God has all we need. We ought to give God all we have. Can I get an amen on that? All that we have. Let's continue. He will always forgive my sin, always. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He always gives us the victory. Now let's remember these in light of what is going on today. We don't need to live in sadness or in defeat. He gives us the victory. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. James 4:7, eventually we'll get to this. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to stop here, and then I have just a couple of other verses, and we'll be done. I have noticed something. Now, we believe in God. Amen? Okay. You believe in your salvation. Amen? Does that mean that Christ dwells in you and you are in Christ, right? That's what the Bible says, right? Do you think the Christ that we have trusted just might be busy with us? What do you think, sis? I don't have my glasses on. What are you doing? Huh? Do you think, by the way, for those of you that don't know, she is my sister. My mom adopted her. Do you think the Lord's busy with us? That means He might create some times when we need Him desperately, right? Does He do that to defeat us? Let's not be surprised if we wind up being pressed. Just like Paul said, pressed maybe, humanly speaking, beyond measure. But that's not to defeat us. It's to grow us. I just have been overwhelmed the last few days with this thought. God is creating us for the last days to be like the first century church. You read the book of Acts, and these people were bold. These people gave the gospel. These people were unashamed of the gospel. Let's be ready to grow. And He gives the victory. Lastly, I love this one. He is always up to something good in my life. Always. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He's got our lives planned out. There's so much more, but I'm going to stop here. God is good. He is. He's good all the time. All the time, God is good. There's a wicked one. He didn't want us to believe that. He doesn't want us to believe it, because if we really did, we'd be telling others. And so he's there to discourage. And it gets wearing on you. God's growing us. Everything that comes down from the Father of lights is good. The same God of Genesis is the same God of the Revelation. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the goodness of our God. We are so thankful that, Lord, You as the Father of lights, as Creator, You have given us all things. You meet our needs. You keep us in Your care. Lord, we rejoice in that. We rejoice that Your love knows no bounds. We rejoice in Your mercy and in Your care, Your grace and Your goodness. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that needs Christ, Lord, right now, that they would recognize that they're sinners. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That they would accept that free gift. Lord, I pray that You would encourage believers, that they would hear these two verses and recognize that You are the God that does not change. And Your word, Your inspired word, declares that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. We are thankful for those gifts. Lord, I pray that You would encourage the people of Faith Baptist, especially those that are not here this morning, for one reason or another. In this time, people can get discouraged. They can get concerned. Lord, I pray that You would encourage them. May we be an encouragement to each other. And we pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.